With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, no, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Have you heard about the 2018 study that showed half of prenatal vitamins tested had unacceptable levels of heavy metals? No? Well, now you have. I'm Kat, mother of three and founder of Ritual, the company making traceability the new standard in the supplement industry. I remember staring at my prenatal vitamins and finding all these things I was trying to avoid: high amounts of heavy metals, synthetic colorants, and unnecessary ingredients. So, at 4 months pregnant, I quit my job and started Ritual because I believe that all women deserve to know what they're putting in their bodies and why. I'm so proud of our prenatal vitamin. The ingredients are 100% traceable. It's third-party tested for microbes and heavy metals, and recently received the Purity Award from the Clean Label Project. You see, we trace like a mother because, let's be honest, no one cares quite like a mother. But don't just take my word for it. Trace for yourself with 25% off at ritual.com/prenatal.
Handle on the news.
Handle on the news!
And now, here's Bill Handel.
Oh, yeah. Wednesday hump day. Good morning, everybody. October 27th, Bill Handel and the morning crew. And there's Jennifer Jones Lee.
Hello. Good morning, gentlemen.
Good morning. You're still wearing those little things on your head.
Yeah, still my little devil horn.
You haven't taken them off
headphones.
Yet.
Headphones.
Don't they get wet in the shower?
Yeah, and they hurt a little bit when I sleep.
Okay, fair enough. Wayne, good morning.
Good morning.
And there's Alex. Good morning, Alex.
Morning.
And there's the infamous Taylor, Tyler.
Well, it's Tyler.
Tinker Taylor.
Soldier. Spy.
Yeah. Spy.
Spam.
Yeah. Yeah. Kosher butcher. I mean, all of that. You know, you just put it all together. All right, guys. Boy, a lot going on today. News cycles. Where I think we're going to cover a news conference at 9 o'clock. Is that right, Alex?
Yes, sir.
Where the authorities are going to release more information on the Rust set shooting Alec Baldwin, having killed the cinematographer, obviously by mistake. It was a tragic accident. And we're going to find out whether there are going to be criminal charges. And there very, very well may be, because this could be criminal negligence.
Could be a negligent homicide.
Yeah, it could be.
Especially given everything we've learned in the last day or so.
I heard yesterday, as a matter of fact, I was obviously watching the news, and they brought in a former federal prosecutor who said he thinks that someone's going to prison on this one. There's going to be some jail time on this. That's her opinion. You know, obviously, we'll see if I think it's state, right? It's not going to be a federal.
No.
It's going to be a state, the district attorney of that county. And I don't even, what's the name of the county?
Santa Fe.
Santa Fe County, which has, what, 9 people living in it? Or is that the big county there?
It's not the big, the big county is where Albuquerque is. But Santa Fe is 50,000 people now,
right,
something like
in
that.
In a county.
No, I think the city of Santa Fe is
50,000.
You know, Santa Fe has the old Santa Fe, the tour where you go, and then it has a regular old suburban with the Costco, you know, and the Best Buy and whatever.
Santa Fe
and
County,
where all people live.
They've got 150,000 people there.
Yeah, in LA County, just
10
to compare,
million.
10 million people.
Just 10 million.
So there you are.
It's very close.
It's very close. All right, guys, let's do it. Handle on the news, Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne Resnick, and me. Lead story. Talking about L.A. County, the sheriff, Alex Villanueva, has been ordered by a federal judge to testify under oath in a lawsuit brought by Vanessa Bryant. And this has to do with the deputies taking photos of the death scene or of the crash and the remains of Kobe Bryant and his daughter. And there's a whole story. We talked about it yesterday about Vanessa talking to the sheriff and saying, please secure the place. We talked about that with Wayne. Please secure. He said, yes, we're securing. It's fine. And she said, no, I want you to secure the site. And he came back, said, I've ordered it. It's been done. And now she is sued. And she is asking for Villanueva's deposition. And the judge said, you getcha, you betcha. That's very unusual. Usually you won't see sheriffs. You won't see people of that. I'm not going to say caliber because it's hard to use the word caliber and Villanueva in the same sentence. But of that, that high in the hierarchy. And so we'll see.
And the LA County Fire Chief also has to give a deposition.
And the judge said,
going right to the top of these agencies.
And the judge said they have particular knowledge. I don't think this case is going to go very far, except they have to settle because they can't take a chance going in front of a jury. That's the problem.
Jury that is nail correct.
It. Even though I think, based on what I know, there isn't much of a case there because she's actually arguing de facto that she's more upset about the pictures, which were not released to the public. That is her damage. Boy, those are the damages.
I don't think she's saying she's more upset.
Or as upset, or substantially upset.
I don't even think she's saying that. I think she's saying it's extra separate on top of the normal upset you would think when your husband dies this way. And it was not necessary, and it was done.
No, it wasn't
negligently
necessary. No,
and possibly intentionally on the part of some people.
Problem is, there wasn't any violation of law or policy when that happened, and the pictures were not disseminated publicly.
Well, these are all mitigation,
right?
Of,
they're all that's
of the level of her harm, I guess. I mean, would you want to look her in the eye in front of a jury and basically go, you're not upset about these pictures at all.
That's why it's going to settle for lots and lots of money, because you can't get involved with a jury on this one.
I wonder if she is thinking no settlement, because I can't believe she's doing this for the money.
Yeah, she can't.
She doesn't need money. I think she wants to make a point. And I don't know if she will feel that a point is made if there's a settlement, particularly if there's one of those confidential settlements. She may absolutely want a trial, win or lose, even if the jury gives her a dollar.
But keep in mind, what does she want? Never to happen again. Laws have already been passed that it can't happen again. That now there is liability if a police officer or the authorities take photos of this, other than the official photographers who are supposed to take the photos. So that's all. That's been done. So other than at what point does she make she wants to punish those specific sheriff's deputies? And I think that on an individual basis, they may be granted immunity. I don't know if she could even sue them as individuals. Tell me that's not qualified immunity.
Well, it's not a constitutional question. She's not alleging a violation of her constitutional rights. It's an ordinary tort, right? It's an ordinary civil tort of infliction of emotional damage, which in a way makes it harder. It makes it harder to sue them. It's when you are alleging a constitutional violation that you at least have a bite at the apple. So you're right. It may be very hard as to the individuals.
All right, you mentioned this at the top of the show, and around 9 o'clock this morning, we're expecting authorities in Santa Fe, New Mexico, to present at least the initial findings into the investigation about the fatal shooting that Alec Baldwin did accidentally on that set in New Mexico. And as you said, everything that I've been reading this morning says they either expect or it looks like there could be criminal charges filed.
Have you noticed that both the armorer and the assistant director, the man who actually handed the gun to Alec Baldwin and said this is a cold gun, meaning that it's a safe gun, they have disappeared. Those two are gone. Well, at least they're not. They haven't tried to change their address or anything, but certainly they have gone silent. They've gone to ground.
And I wonder, too, remember how they said that there were a bunch of cast members or crew members, I should say, that had gone target shooting that morning, right? So could they be held? Were these guns never supposed to have live rounds in them in the
first place? I don't know how you can have live rounds on a movie set anyway. I don't understand how anybody can bring a live round. Also, have you noticed when they bring the experts in, show you the difference between a live round and a blank round? They are totally different. You can easily tell one versus the other.
Well, I don't know what the industry standards are. Could Alec Baldwin face a negligence type charge?
No.
Because he was handed the gun, but he didn't actually look at it?
Only the company might. He may, as being negligent in hiring someone. For example,
the
assistant director had been fired from a previous film for this kind of negligence. Now how is he supposed to find out? Does he have a duty to go out and, hey, have you ever been fired? Have you ever, for example, caused an unsafe condition? Then you have the lighting people. Have you ever been involved in lighting lights falling down and hurting anybody? The stunt people, the makeup people. Have you ever used makeup that
got in somebody's eye and they had to use eye drops?
So I don't know how far that goes.
Right.
But all of that has to do with what the DA is going to
charge. Well, I hope they start on time because I want this press conference during this show.
That would be wonderful.
See what the fallout. It could also be an announcement that no charges will.
That's correct. Yeah. And by the way, if the press conference happens in Gary and Shannon, don't run it. Okay, just pointing that out. All right, let's take a break and we'll come back. All right, Jennifer. And, of course, your chance to win $1,000. We'll start that one when we come back from the break. All right, Jen. Back we are, Bill Handel Morning Crew. Before we go to the rest of the news, here's your chance to win sandalas in the 6 o'clock hour.
KFI has your chance to win $1,000.
Text the nationwide keyword EASY, EASY, to 200-200.
You'll get a confirmation text and info.
Standard data and message rates apply in this nationwide contest.
That's EASY to 200-200.
And if you win, you'll get a call from a number you don't recognize, which you must answer. And we do this every day, 14 times a day, 20 minutes after the hour, between 5:20 a.m., 7:20 p.m. So you still have plenty of chances, like next hour, the hour after that, and then the hour after that, and then the hour after that. And strangely enough, the hour after that. I'm not going to do that 14 times. Back we go. More Handle on the news.
You got to commit to the bet.
I know. Jennifer Jones-Lee, Wayne, and me.
The advisory panel for the FDA says yes to Pfizer COVID-19 vaccines for kids ages 5 to 11. Now we wait for the FDA to decide if they're going to take that advice or do something
else. Yeah, and they will. And they will.
Probably.
First of all, the panel voted unanimously.
One abstention. I don't know what that person's deal is.
Yeah. And, yeah, it's going to happen. We know that. So that's going to probably happen in a matter of maybe a couple of weeks, maybe next week.
It could, or let's see, today's Wednesday.
It could be by Friday.
Right. It depends. I mean, with this administration being so into it, it could be by the end of the week they make the announcement.
And then Dr. Fauci says, I told you. Remember, he said that he thought that the vaccine would be available to kids in the first or second week of November.
Yeah, but Dr. Fauci is, I told you, you have to do this. No, you have to do that. No, don't do that. Do this. Well, wait a sec. There's another this here we have to look at. Come on. Dr. Fauci is bouncing all over the place. He's basically a billiard ball when it comes to this.
All right.
It's true. I mean, how many times has he changed his tune? And then there's nothing definitive ever. It's this could happen. This might happen.
Well, that's the part I object to, is all these news articles coming out. Dr. Fauci says maybe there'll be this in 2 to 3 weeks. Okay. And? Like, wait until it happens and then say it happened.
I actually want to see Fauci's office and the dartboard.
He comes out,
makes his pronunciations.
He's still a very good.
Yeah, he actually is.
He's a doctor, an epidemiologist. And it's partly the press's fault. The press fell in love with him to the extent that now, if he's walking down the street and he goes, there's some clouds over there. I wonder if they're going to rain. The next thing you know, Washington Post, Fauci says possibility of rain this afternoon.
All right. The LA City Council has pushed back the deadline for city employees to be vaccinated against COVID-19. So now city employees have until December 18th to show proof, or they could lose their jobs.
Or get tested twice a week with $65 per test.
Yeah, they have to pay for it. There's a few lawsuits there. Then the question is, let's say that's upheld by the courts. How many people work for the city are so into not being vaccinated that they're prepared to pay for a COVID test twice a week at $65 a pop?
$130 a week.
A week.
A week. That's $520 a month?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness.
That's money.
The other thing that I just wonder is when these mandates go into effect, if it hasn't started already, the black market run on the fake vaccination cards. Because if all I have to do is show you a
card. They're just a piece of paper. They can easily be counterfeited. There's nothing there.
I don't think it's going to come to that, because what it looks like, the city's, I think, tipping their hand. We'll give you more time. Oh, there's still a lot of you unvaccinated? Okay, we'll give you more time.
I don't know
time.
How many times that's going to go.
Yeah, let's find out.
I really don't. Well, we will find out, obviously. Let's take a break, and we'll come back. Jennifer Jones-Lee. a.m. 640 Handle here and the morning crew on a Wednesday, October 27th. Coming up at 9 o'clock, we are expecting and we will cover a news conference out of New Mexico where the authorities are going to be talking about the shooting of the cinematographer on that movie set, Rust. By the way, I just looking into this, I just found out what the movie's about.
Oh, that's just another layer of
dark. Yeah, I mean, have you noticed that no one knows what the movie's about? And it's all about a car fender that...
Oh, my God, Bill.
What? Let's just move on.
I thought you were really going to get into the thing.
I will later on.
But it was just a joke about oxidation.
Well, yeah, but it's a weird.
The dark twist is that the movie itself is about an accidental killing.
Yes, that is interesting. And it's a 13-year-old boy who is convicted of this accidental killing and is scheduled to be hanged. No, that's true.
I thought that the Alec Baldwin character.
No, Alec Baldwin.
The boy accidentally kills and then goes running off.
Right, Alec Baldwin is the grandfather who then takes him around. That's what the story is about. But what a weird name, Rust. I don't understand how that connects.
I think that...
I don't know, let's just move on.
Isn't Rust the last name of the character?
That I don't know.
Yeah, that's weird. Anyway, let's just move on.
Hey, it's Rampant Speculation Tuesday here on KFI.
All right, let's go on.
Here's something that's not rampant speculation. L.A. County health officials are pleased to announce that a majority of businesses are complying with the various vaccine verification rules and masking requirements. They went out to a whole bunch of businesses, over 1,000 restaurants, some bars, gyms, food markets, breweries, hair salons.
List goes on and on and on.
You know, depending on where they were going, anywhere from 73% up to 86% of these types of businesses were in compliance with whatever they were supposed to be
doing. I think you're
going to
find businesses more and more are getting on this bandwagon of forcing the issue of vaccination, and you have to prove it to the business. As I said, my daughter is having a Halloween party over the weekend at my house. Proof of vaccination or a negative COVID test. Otherwise, you're not walking in the door. It's just the mindset. Governmental employees are a different issue. I guess it's wild because when you work for the government, somehow I think you have more license to scream and rant and rave, or the coverage is better if you're a cop or you're an employee of the feds and you say, no, thank you. I think it's for some reason that is more impactful.
There's
I don't
a
know
higher
why.
Prevalence of collective bargaining agreements in government
that
now than in the private
and
sector.
I guess it's more newsworthy than someone working at a bar and saying no. Although, In-N-Out.
We talked about the one on Fisherman's Wharf in San Francisco that had closed its indoor dining because the manager said, hey, we're not going to be the health police. We're not going to ask for customers' vaccination records when they come in the door. Now there's a second one in the Bay Area that's done the same thing.
Yeah.
But this one was shut down by the local health department after the In-N-Out in Pleasant Hill failed to check customers' COVID-19 vaccination status.
Yeah, I wonder what it's about. Now, In-N-Out Burgers, I don't think, are franchises. They're all corporately owned. So I don't know what corporate has to say about this. Are they letting every manager deal with it separately? Is there a corporate policy? I haven't heard anything about that other than you've got two In-N-Out Burgers that have now been shut down. Two of those joints. Restaurants, although they're not really restaurants.
I think
why aren't they restaurants?
Well, I mean, there's a little indoor seating, but it's mainly...
they've got outdoor and takeout, at least in the one in San Francisco. So I was wondering why the one in Pleasanton didn't just do the same thing.
Yeah, and I don't know the answer to that. And of course, to go to an In-N-Out Burger, it's the line of cars that are 3 miles long. That's what they're known for.
Yeah, but it moves fast.
It does.
It moves pretty fast.
It really does.
And everything's made to order.
Yeah.
On top of that.
Okay. Who's going to send them the bill for this free ad they just got? Well, the mother of the three boys who were left to fend for themselves in an apartment in Texas, one of whom died, has been arrested along with her boyfriend. It's the boyfriend that is charged with murder in connection with the death of the 8-year-old because the coroner found he died of blunt force trauma.
Yeah.
And then the mother is charged with injury to a child by omission, failure to provide medical care, failure to provide adequate supervision. So piecing this together, it would appear boyfriend killed the 8-year-old. And then mom and the boyfriend said, we'll just go live somewhere else now. You guys stay here and deal with it.
Yeah. Now, one of the weirder parts of this story is, and according to the story, and that makes sense, is why the 15-year-old, the eldest, waited a year to call the authorities. I mean, brother was dead, had been killed by boyfriend, according to the authorities, and literally rotted for a year in one of the bedrooms. He finally calls a year later.
I can't imagine what, if this is true, that the boyfriend did commit the murder and the mother, you know, they just bailed. What they said to that son, as in, you better not say a word, or you're dead too, you and your... I mean, you know, that's very much speculation, but the amount of horror that little boy, 15 years old, had to be dealing with, I can't imagine.
It's just a really unusual story. Unfortunately, we've heard too many times where boyfriends, stepdads have come in and killed the children, and then they get arrested and whatever. But this one, a year later, remains sitting in a bedroom and just too... it's just too weird.
There's a cop in San Francisco that was convicted of assault with a deadly weapon in connection with the shooting of a mentally ill man. This was back in 2018, and prosecutors had argued that the officer used excessive force. He shot the guy 9 times
while he was driving away.
As he drove away
from
a police. It was a slow speed chase.
Right. And this cop 2 years before had killed another person. I mean, this is 2 killings by a police officer in the space of 2 years. And that case is still pending. I mean, this cop has some issues. And why? Well, you don't know. If the case is still pending and it's been going on for a while, you'd figure the cop would still be on the force. But would he be a patrol officer? Would he be out there with the gun while an investigation is going on? And I don't care if it takes 2 years. Shouldn't he be on desk duty? Okay, we'll take a break and we will come back and finish up Handle on the News. In the meantime, a news break from Jennifer Jones Lee.
Whoa, amber is the color of your energy.
Whoa, good morning, everybody. Handle here. It is a Wednesday, October 27th, as we finish Handle on the News on this lovely morning. Jennifer Jones Lee, Wayne, and me.
Well, very near the courthouse where the trial in the killing of Ahmaud Arbery is taking place, there is a statue that has been all wrapped up in plastic. It's the statue of a Confederate soldier holding a rifle, and it's in a park near the courthouse there in Brunswick, Georgia. And they've wrapped it in sheets of plastic, apparently to protect it from vandalism.
Which has already been vandalized.
It has been vandalized already. It has been there for 119 years, and... I mean, it's not wrong to suspect that somebody might want to vandalize it again, particularly with the trial going on.
Now, here's an interesting spin. The city commission voted in November of 2020 to remove the statue.
Mm-hmm.
They just didn't put a timeline on it. So, okay, now what?
Yeah, it's an agreement, in principle to a memorandum of understanding that at some point, someday, we'll remove the statue.
All right, the LA City Council approved the largest guaranteed basic income pilot program in the country. So it expands the city's initial $6 million investment, now bumped it up to $40 million. And they say it'll benefit 30,000 people in Los Angeles. So it'll give either $1,000 in direct cash payments to families each month for a year.
Now we're going to Andrew Yang. Remember, $1,000 a month for every American, and people thought he was nuts. Now we have pilot programs. And this is not the only one. This is just the biggest one, saying what happens if people get a guaranteed $1,000 a month. By the way, they could still work. This is just, here is some free money. By the way, that we need an acronym for that, because they're calling it the Big Leap, Basic Income Guaranteed, LA Economic Assistance Pilot, whatever the hell it is. We should have one, free money, and see how that works out. We have to come up with a program that the acronym is free money, because that's what this is. So yeah, it's interesting stuff. What does it do? The pilot programs up to this point have shown that people don't take this money and spend it for frivolities. They use it for rent. They use it for food. But
well, they say this money would go to families that were impacted by the pandemic, who are
which is everybody.
Poverty.
Well, but also who are living below the poverty
in
line.
Poverty.
Still, yeah. It's yeah. So if you hit, it's not just Medicare. Well, excuse me, it's not just Social Security. It's not just welfare where people who are below the poverty line get these various programs. But if we're also talking $1,000 a month on top of that, can you imagine what that would cost for everybody who lives under the poverty line?
And well, this particular pilot program is $40 million.
No, I understand. But
if you expand it yeah, and it, expand
why
it and
is
expand
it? A pilot, the whole purpose of a pilot program is to see if how it works. And now let's take it. And what ends up happening is money doesn't seem to be an issue for governmental authorities anymore. It's just not an issue. Let's just spend the money. Here's another check. I mean, it's which is why $20 billion worth of fraud took place. Or $87 billion nationally, $20 billion in California. So you just have program after program. It's kind of crazy. And I'm pretty much in favor of the government helping people out, but this is nuts.
Oh, right, well, how about
oh,
this
here's
one?
Another one.
Yes,
what a shocker.
LA also has a program going on right now. You can apply right now through November 2nd. It's called the Comeback Checks Grant Program. I guess, is the acronym.
We should have...
This is for businesses affected by the pandemic. A $5,000 check to 5,000 eligible small businesses. So it's a $25 million program funded with the American Rescue Plan Act. This is all federal money that was dumped into the localities that they are looking to spend. So if you have a small business and you are impacted and you want to apply, you have until November 2nd, you can go to comebackchecksla.com. comebackchecksla.com to apply. And every check comes with a side of comeback sauce.
Yeah, that's funny. Financial recovery, economic. I'm trying to figure out a way to get free money as an acronym for this program, too.
Oh. Well, free money. I mean, if you're calling it the free money program, then the acronym is FM.
Yeah, that's not good.
I know. No. So you want to... I'm not sure
you
what you're trying to
zhuzh it up a little bit.
Do you want to find a name for the program where the acronym is free money?
Yeah.
I'll work on that for you.
Okay.
I don't know if I can do it, but I will try on your behalf.
And then some World Series news.
Braves win. Woo. Hot start to the game.
Hot start? Historic start.
Jorge
Soler.
There's
a lot of history here.
Never before. Has a player stepped to the plate for the first time in a World Series, the very first at bat, and hit a home run. Yeah. Until now, Jorge Soler of the Braves.
How do they know that? Yeah, this is what.
What do you mean? How do they know that? This is an industry keeping statistics.
And it's literally this hasn't happened since 1896.
It's not like there's some guy named Marv over there who just has a book
stats,
and he's like, hey,
the minutia goes so deep when you're talking stats. You know, we've never had a player before with two colors of shoes hit a home run. And it's so crazy. I've always wondered about that.
It's one of the things people love about baseball more than really any other sport. The stats are such a big part of it.
And they go back 140 years.
Because they have a record of every game, every at bat. They have a record of every pitch and the result of that pitch. So you can slice and dice that kind of information in so many ways.
Before you had computer programs. Now it's fairly easy when you have these databases that you can pull this stuff up. But what do they do before that? Because if it's every pitch, we've never had a second pitch in which an outfielder tripped and broke a leg. And the last time that happened was in 1886. How do you know that stuff?
And there was also a new one last night. That was, we've never had a pitcher in the second inning be binged by a line drive in the leg.
Broke his leg. Charlie Ground Chuck Morton, man.
Ground Chuck?
Broken fibula. Yeah. Yeah, there's
Charlie
some bones.
That never happened. That's not to say that was his right leg, right? So we want to differentiate that to the player that in 1903 had his left leg broken under the same circumstances.
Accuracy. Yep.
Also, was it broken on a bounce or on a straight line?
There you go. And that stat is there.
All right.
Crazy.
You're incredulous.
No,
about
I am. I'm stunned about the depth of the statistics in baseball. Coming up, L.A. County Sheriff Villanueva must testify as to his firsthand knowledge in the case that Kobe Bryant's widow has filed against the county for those photos that were taken of the remains of her husband and her daughter. This is KFI AM 640, live everywhere on the iHeartRadio app.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. I'm not sure if you know this about me, but I'm a bit of a fun fanatic when I can. I like to work, but I like fun too. It's a thing. And now the truth is out there. I can tell you about my favorite place to have fun. Chumba Casino. They have hundreds of social casino style games to choose from with new games released each week. You can play for free anytime, anywhere. And each day brings a new chance to collect daily bonuses. So join me in the fun. Sign up now at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 18 plus.